Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6 this evening. We began in Nehemiah chapter 1 and ended in chapter 2. And we noted how God used Nehemiah to lead God's people into the rebuilding of the wall that surrounded Jerusalem. And by chapter 6, we read that the building was complete, the wall was complete. From chapter 7 onwards, we read of the rebuilding of God's people. And the theme of revival is throughout this book, how Nehemiah responded once he was made aware of the spiritual poverty and the physical poverty of his own people. He appealed to God, prayed, and he was prepared to advocate. He was prepared to intercede on the behalf of God's people. God opened up a door for Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and to lead God's people into the rebuilding project. And he inspired, he encouraged, he instructed, he ordered the rebuilding of this wall. And that's spelled out there in chapter 3. He delegates. In chapter 4, we read of opposition. And then chapter 5, some internal issues that he had to deal with. And once again, chapter 6, more opposition. But Nehemiah was a wonderful man of God, a wonderful leader, in that he just kept moving, kept building, and he kept praying. And so he kept moving, kept building, kept praying. And that's why we read here in chapter 6, verse 15, it reads, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your precious word this evening. O God, we are in need of revival. We are in need of your anointing upon our lives. So we pray that you would teach us from your word how we can be revived personally for your honor and glory. We pray. Amen. So the wall of Jerusalem has been completed. So while chapters 1 to 7 concern us with the rebuilding of the wall, chapter 8 and following deal with the rebuilding of God's people. See, Nehemiah wasn't just content with external walls. That was a practical need. He attended to that practical need. But he desired for God's people to be right with God, because God's people had not been living within the will of God. That's why they were in trouble. That's why they were being mocked. That's why they were being persecuted, oppressed. So God's people had not been living right. So Nehemiah wisely, upon the completion of the wall, he attends to the need of having God's people rebuilt. So likewise, it's one thing for you and I to go through the right motions and be right seemingly outwardly, but we need to be right internally. So let's see if we can note some principles, some guidelines that would help us to experience personal revival. In chapter 7, it gives us a bit of a genealogy. And as we move into chapter 8, we have some principles that led to personal and national revival. And as we study these early verses in Nehemiah chapter 8, I'd like for us to note some principles of personal revival. This revival recorded here centers around the Word of God. The Word of God is life-giving. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God will quicken. The Word of God will make alive that which is dying. that which is dead. And to revive means to relive. And that's what we need as Bible-believing Christians. We need to be revived daily. We need to be revived on a regular basis. And we see within Nehemiah chapter 8 that this revival amongst God's people takes place because of the preeminence and the exaltation of the Word of God. Let's note here in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse number 1, it reads, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." Ezra the scribe was used of God in time past to bring about renewal amongst God's people. In Ezra chapter 8, we read of him coming back amongst his people, following the building of the temple. And he was instrumental in leading God's people to revival. So now once again, God uses Ezra as the medium to revival. A man of the Word of God. And we see he first and foremost here in verse number 1. In order for you and I to be revived, we need to place ourselves under the ministry of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives life. See, the Bible teaches us that the people gathered themselves together as one man. They assembled together in one place as a people. The people gathered together at the water gate. So likewise, if we truly desire personal revival, we need to make sure that we are under the ministry of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that gives life. Josiah was revived because he placed himself under the ministry of the Word of God. Shaphan the scribe was given the Word of God by the priest Hilkiah, who found it during the building renovations of the temple, and Josiah asked that he would read the Word of God to him. And as he read the Word of God to the king, God did a work in his heart. See, Josiah was willing to place himself under the ministry of the Word of God. And if you and I are to be revived personally, we need to make sure that we are continually under the ministry of the Word of God. The people gathered as one man. They were unified. Where did they meet? They met before the water gate, a gate by which you could enter the city of Jerusalem. There were 10 gates that were rebuilt by Nehemiah. The water gate was the gate through which water was brought into the city from the pool of Siloam, obviously known as the water gate. Each gate had a specific name that defined its purpose. So the people gathered in the street before the water gate. God's word is likened to water. God's word is likened to life-giving water. Note there in Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26. The Bible reads that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. God's word is likened to water. Water is life-giving. And when we faithfully assemble within the local church, the water gate, so to speak, God's word, that life-giving word of God, will impart life to you and I. So these people not only work together, they worship together around the word of God. They place themselves under the ministry of the word of God. So we need to place ourselves under the ministry of the Word of God if we are to be revived daily, weekly. And that's why you and I need to spend time daily in the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God day and night. And that's why you and I, as God's people, need to be careful lest we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to assemble regularly together and remain under the ministry of the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that gives life. And God's people are revived because they place themselves under the ministry of the Word of God. Also note here, in verse number 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8, that they assembled themselves as one man before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra. They requested of Ezra the scribe to do what? To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So the people requested the word of God. They requested the word of God. The people had a hunger for the word of God. They wanted to hear God's word. When was the last time that you and I determined to hear the word of God? So often we do things out of habit. Now there's a good side of that. We need to be habitual. We need to be consistent. But it's important that we come back to the reason why we are to be habitual and why we are to develop good habits. There's an ultimate end. And you and I need to be careful that as we continue the habit, so to speak, the consistent habit of being under the ministry of the Word of God, that we come with a desire to hear the Word of God and to learn from the Word of God. See, the book of the law of Moses, God's people didn't want to hear stories, okay? They didn't want to hear about, what was happening on a physical level. They wanted to hear from God. And they said, they requested, Ezra, will you bring the book of the law of Moses? We want to hear from God. So not only did God's people place themselves under the authority of the Word of God, they were hungry for the Word of God. When we hunger for the life-giving Word of God, we can expect revival. See, Josiah, upon listening to God's Word, being read in his presence, God did a work in his heart. See, he was hungry for God's Word. The Word of God had been displaced. And when the Word of God was rediscovered, he wanted to hear from God. And I trust that each time you come to church, you want to hear from God. And if that's your attitude, then God will revive you. And each morning as you have your quiet time, I trust that you anticipate the fact that I'm going to hear from God this morning. I'm wanting God to speak to me. It's one thing to go through the routine, the mundane routine of reading our Bibles or being in church, but if there is not a hunger for God and His Word, there will not be revival. A hunger for the Word of God. They requested Ezra, bring the book of the law of Moses. Don't bring your jokes. Don't bring your fancy little stories. Don't bring your political views. No, we want to hear from God. We want to hear the Word of God. We want to hear, thus saith the Lord. We want to hear the Word of God that was given to Moses of old. We need to learn how to live. We need to be reminded how to live. We want to hear from God. And beloved, if you will come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you will approach each quiet time, each morning, each evening, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your word. You'll be revived. God will revive you because this book is life-giving. The word of God is life-giving. Believe you me, it's powerful. the Word of God. Then we read on. In verse number 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And note the third verse. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And note this little phrase, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Not only did God's people place themselves under the ministry of the Word of God, not only did God's people hunger for the Word of God, they requested the Word of God, but God's people were attentive to the Word of God. From morning to midday, time was not the issue for God's people. The issue was that they wanted to hear from God, and they were prepared to endure until they heard from God. Most Christians have God in a box, and they want God to work within their time frame. And that's not how God works. Our God needs to be allowed to work on His schedule. Most people don't invest time to be revived. See, if you want to be revived, beloved, you need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time in the Word of God daily, morning, evening. And each time the doors of the New Testament church are open, you're to be here. And if that's your attitude, if you'll come hungry for the Word of God, if you'll come with an empty plate and say, God, I want to leave full with a full plate, God will answer that request. See, God will feed you. God will revive your heart. See, God's people were attentive to the Word of God. They were sharply focused upon the Word of God. And when we focus upon God in His Word, we can expect personal revival. And as the Bible teaches there in verse number 3, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Attentive, focused upon hearing the Word of God. What cripples attentiveness? Why don't we get revived? A number of reasons. Many reasons. Sometimes we come to church tired. Instead of preparing our hearts spiritually and physically for church. Sometimes we choose to have other things in our minds. Just like some of you right now, your mind's in the fairies. You're not really thinking about what I'm saying, you're thinking about what you can do tomorrow. And you shortlist for the next day. You're not going to walk out of here revived unless you're thinking about the Word of God. That's the bottom line. See? If we would fill these empty pews at the front here, we'd have more of God's people revived. Yes, we will. What is it that people want to sit towards the back? Now, I understand it's legitimate for some of us, but you'll get more distracted at the back than the front. So the more you want to be revived, sit closer in. Amen? Just a tip. Attentiveness. Sharpness to the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear, said the Lord Jesus. Be attentive to listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God has given us two ears for a reason. Because we need to be swift to hear, and if we are attentive to God's Word, we will be revived. But also note then verse number 5. There was a deep respect for the Word of God. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. The people stood up on their feet as the Word of God was read. So we see a respect for the Word of God. We see that God's people reflected a reverence for the Word of God. And the Word of God is worthy of respect, is it not? The Bible is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That's what it is. We have within our grasp the eternal, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. This is God's Word, perfect, infallible, inerrant. The Word of God ought to be reverenced, respected. And if you reverence and respect the Word of God, God will revive you. Yes, He will. And God's people reflected their respect for God's Word by standing. We're far more attentive when we stand, are we not? So by standing and listening to God's Word, God's people were reflecting a respect for God's Word. But just by standing for the reading of God's Word doesn't necessarily mean that we respect it. We can do it habitually. We tend to stand for the reading of God's Word in this church when we have our formal readings in the morning. But I think we can show a greater respect for the Word of God by obeying it. Obeying, thus saith the Lord. I think that's where the rubber meets the road in respect for the Word of God. One thing to stand for the reading of the Word of God, it's another thing to obey it. So beyond a correct doctrinal position on the Bible, you and I need to respect the Word of God. And we see that revival took place amongst God's people because they had a respect for the Word of God. Do you respect the Word of God? Do we respect the Word of God? This book is God's Word. This is a supernatural book. Do we reverence, do we respect it? And if that's your attitude, beloved, you'll be revived. Note then, verse number 6, not only was there a respect, there was a responding to God's Word. As they heard the Word of God being read by Ezra of old. Note then verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And with lifting up their hands in prayer, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So we see a responding to God's Word. A responding to the Word of God. They responded verbally. They cried out, Amen. The Lord Jesus is the great Amen. So they responded to the Word of God, and the word Amen means truly, I agree, it is true what you've said. And as Ezra read the Word of God, the people responded, Amen, Amen. So you better get used to saying Amen on this side of eternity, because we'll be in the presence of the great Amen in eternity. When God's people verbally respond to God's Word outwardly under the leadership of God's Spirit, out of an inward agreement to God's Word, we can expect personal revival.
So it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to respond. And we see that God's people were hungry for the word of God, and they came with a desire to hear from God and to respond to God's word. And they cried out, Amen. They lifted up their hands in prayer to God. They bowed their heads in humility and they worshiped. As they heard the ministry of the word of God, they couldn't help but worship God. They're responding to the word of God. And when we respond to God's word, it involves obedience. And then there will be revival. There will be revival. Responding to the word of God. Each time we hear God's word and we choose to respond to it, we'll experience personal revival. I'm not saying every service you need to walk the aisle and come and pray at the front here, but in the quietness of your own heart, I trust that you are saying, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do with the message that I've just heard from your word? And if that's your spirit, if that's your attitude, God will revive you. Responding. When was the last time you responded to God's word? It's one thing to hear, Pastor, that was a good sermon. I'd rather see God's people respond to God's word. I don't need to hear that's a good sermon. All of God's word's good. Are we responding to God's word? Then we read in verse number 8, please. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. See, the revival comes when God's word is declared with clarity and understanding. In verse number 8, it talks about the word of God being read distinctly, clearly. The Apostle Paul exhorted young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, please, verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. This is in reference to the reading of the Word of God, to exhortation and to doctrine. Because as the Word of God is read, it will encourage. As the Word of God is read, it will impart teaching, doctrine. So revival comes when the Word of God is declared with understanding. It is read clearly. And then back in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 8, it talks about, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. What does that mean? It means that the preacher explained, this is what it means. It was read clearly, it was explained. It was the Ethiopian that said to Philip the evangelist, how can I understand except someone guide me? Because the question was asked to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you are reading there in Acts chapter 8? And he responded to the evangelist and said, how can I except someone should guide me? And when the word of God is clearly read and spelled out, and when the word of God is explained, that person is on the way to being revived. Then verse number 8 goes on to read, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, clearly, so that all could hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Gave the sense, this is what it means. And caused them to understand. We often read the word understand or understanding synonymous with wisdom, the application of biblical truth. So the word here is in reference to the application, the imparting of wisdom. So in other words, the word of God needs to be read clearly. The word of God needs to be explained. This is what it means. And the application should be given. People should be able to make application from the word of God. And as that Ethiopian eunuch was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, the evangelist said, these verses are in reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He made application on the behalf of that individual. That individual was hungry and thirsting for the word of God. And he said, I need help. I need instruction. I need understanding. I need help with understanding and applying God's word. And Philip the evangelist said, these verses here in Isaiah chapter 53 are in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon that preaching, that man was converted and scripturally baptized by immersion. God did a work because the evangelist was prepared to give understanding, but also make application. These verses here in reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and you need a Savior just like the rest of the world.
What a great responsibility it is to proclaim God's word, to make sure that people understand it and make personal application to their lives. And when the preacher and teacher is diligent to do so, the Holy Spirit will take the word and do his work in the hearts of individuals. The Holy Spirit does lead into truth. He uses preachers, he uses teachers to declare the word of God. And if the word of God is declared with clarity, if people gain understanding and application, God's Spirit can work. Many great revivals of the past have been bred in the mill of God's word. God's word being taught clearly with understanding and application. King Josiah realized that Israel had neglected the Passover for years. They're in 2 Kings chapter 23. He came to that understanding via the reading, the declaring of the word of God. See, Nehemiah knew that with all the persecution and opposition that the people of God had experienced, we read of the opposition there in chapter 4 and chapter 6 predominantly, there was a need for God's people to be revived. And with the declaration of the word of God amongst God's people, and with God's people having a right spirit, God was able to revive the people of God. And if we had time, we would read on in the book of Nehemiah. And we see some of the changes that took place as a result of the declaration of the Word of God. See, it was one thing to rebuild some walls, brick and mortar, around a city. Far greater challenge to help build people's lives. That's hard yakka. That's hard work. The key to the rebuilding is the Word of God. And you and I can be revived daily, weekly, through the ministry of the Word. As we place ourselves under the ministry of the Word of God. As we maintain a genuine hunger for God's Word. When we are attentive to the Word of God. And as we are attentive to God's word, we maintain a
reverence and respect for the Word of God. And we prepare our hearts to respond to the Word of God. Now, if that's our spirit, you'll be revived. And if the Word of God is declared with clarity, if the Word of God is declared with understanding, if the Word of God is declared with application, you and I will be revived. Revival is possible in 2022. Each time you have your quiet time, you can be revived. At the end of each Sunday, you can be revived. If your spirit is right and your focus is upon your God, and God has given us His Word. The Scriptures are life-giving. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God has used His Word time and time again throughout history to bring about revival. So let me encourage you this evening, if you are sincerely desiring personal revival, let's elevate the Word of God. In the Psalms it reads, I have exalted my Word above my very name. God has exalted His Word above His name. And if we'll exalt this book in our lives, it will do the miraculous. The problem with modern Christianity today is that we've set this book aside. And we're scratching our heads and wondering, now, how do we reach people? You know? How do we get people in church? And you and I need to get back to the book and read the book, obey the book, trust the God of the book. Because this book is life-giving. It's supernatural. We just need to spend a bit more time in it. Try this as an experiment. Next time you take a train trip into the city, take the biggest Bible you've got, or just your regular Bible. Walk onto the train with your Bible under your armpit like this. And take your seat and open up your Bible. Bible. Not your phone, Bible. Amen? And you watch people watch you. Now what is that? This book's alive. It stands out. And if this book is preeminent in your life, in my life, God will revive us. May God give us revival in 2022. The Word is the key. If we'll take the advice of Joshua of old, as it's spelled out in Joshua chapter 1, to meditate in God's Word day and night, meditate therein, obey what we read, God will revive us. Let's bow for prayer.